The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
You're listening to Cthulhu Chronicles. Hey, Frank. Hey, give me a box of pants.
Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha, pal.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's how it always starts. But then later there's running and screaming.
Apart. The South was seceding. It was a very young country.
Frederick Douglass was an abolitionist, and he believed it is morally wrong to have slavery. And people were like, hey, Lincoln, this guy's talking a good game. You should meet with him. And Lincoln wasn't a douchebag. He's like, okay, I'll meet with him. Frederick Douglass comes to the White House. Senator Pomeroy is like, da-da-da, Abraham Lincoln, let me introduce you to Frederick Douglass, a black former slave, a good black man who has some speeches. He would like to talk to you. I'm not being prejudiced. I just, he's black. I'd like to let you know. And he was asking Frederick Douglass, what do I do about slavery? What do I do about the black population? And Frederick Douglass comes over to him. He's like, Abraham Lincoln, I am Frederick Douglass. I am a former slave who, and he's like, shh, I get it. I know who you are. It's been explained to me. I've been following your career forever. Be quiet. I'm into it. Like, let's talk. I will do more about him, but I will lay down. My legs are showing. I wanted to lose weight before this. Wait, don't show, it's too white. I want to lay down and have a drink. No, you know what I'm going to do? Frederick Douglass. He's like, guess what, Abraham Lincoln? I have to tell you three things. Blacks should fight in the war, too. Black soldiers who do fight in the war should get equal pay as whites. Three, if they're prisoners of war, don't fucking kill them. And Lincoln's like, yeah, I think we can do this, but I just want to let you know that I'm just into preserving the Union. But the thing about Richard Dreyfuss, what is his name? Frederick Douglass. I knew it was something similar. The thing about Frederick Douglass, they were good friends. And Frederick Douglass remained an advisor to President Clinton for years. And word gets back to him like, Abraham Lincoln is dead. Why do I feel like I didn't take my pants off or anything, did I? Because I feel like it on a...
That's Mr. Cthulhu over there, you know what I mean?
Oyster is drunk history, as far as I'm concerned. Melding the metaphysical and the mundane, the Bard of Broadcasting is now on the error.
Hello,
Yeah, here we go again, Y2K Plus 13, as we wind up this year. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. So it is a return to you, to the airwaves, to your iPhone waves, to your gadgets, and your hatchets, and everything else you got going right here on a Thursday night. It's live if you're listening live. If not, make believe it's live. We're here for 2 hours, and we got historical history. Hysterical history. Speaking of hysterical, Jeremy Long is here with me, and he got a room full of idiots, too. You tell him, go ahead.
冰球到冰球，小村到大市，咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心。Chronicles.
From Icecap to Ascap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello, and now broadcasting in 42 languages. Can you even name 42 languages? Can you name 40? Let's start, okay? There's Spanish, there's English, it would count, and I'm not going to go through all 42. I can do it. Can you do it? Can anyone in this room name 42 languages? Everybody shout out a language at once.
French.
Huh? Is Puerto Rican a language or is that Spanish?
What?
Okay, apparently we don't know what I'm at. We got a room full of people, including our own Jeremy Long. And I say our own Jeremy Long because he doesn't have his own show yet. But he's that may be forthcoming if he could ever get his schedule together. And my name is Frank Cotolo, the man's name that joins the title of the show. What a great show we're going to have here, too, because Brock LaRob is going to appear. I say appear as if it's a show with pictures. There's no pictures. All the pictures are in your head. I'm saying that Brock LaRob, again, we don't want to talk about the
I'm
pictures in your head either.
Like,
is what?
I'm
is
imagining
that,
him.
Yeah, I can. And Brock LaRob, usually known as Brock LaRob, but he has written his first book. Now, I want to mention that a long time ago, when Brock LaRob was first on any kind of radio, it was here on this show, and then later on, I think it was Jiggy Jaguar picked him up, and he started beyond. He was local, doing some local stuff. Brock LaRob has been so I kind of founded Brock LaRob. It's kind of like, who is that? Who are they saying? It's guys. There's a bunch of people out there who, you know, Steve Lawrence, Ida Gourmet began on the Steve Allen Show. He found them. He found Louis Nye, and all these guys are later on. You Tom Poston, all these people later on, I think there's even more than just that. But I'm actually the only person. You know, at one point, Elvis Presley couldn't be on television because of his hips, but Steve Allen had him on television. Steve Allen also had Frank Zappa. Today we celebrate the death of Steve Allen. No, it's not true. What I'm just trying to say that I found Brock LaRob, and today Brock LaRob is going to be talking about his book, which was published, and he told us in the very beginning of his appearances many years ago, he said, I'm writing a book. And I said, okay. And he said, it's a historical book, and we're going to find out a lot about it on this show right here, Y2K plus 13. And, you know, we've been doing a lot of shows with guests over the past somewhat few times. But, you know, as I'm looking at the calendar, all of a sudden a whole bunch of things happened. And here's what happened. Let me tell you what's happening. And then we're going to go into whatever it is we go into. Before we talk to Brock, whose real name, by the way, is Tom Nocerino, and I don't know why his byline he used Tommy. Tommy's the kid who was with Lassie, and Tommy's the kid who little Tommy. I don't understand it. Tom's an adult and is a historian. I don't know. I don't know how. I want to make sure people take him serious. Because they call him, he put Tommy. That sounds like, you want to take someone serious. Should be Thomas, shouldn't it?
I like Brock.
You like Brock LaRob. He should have been Brock LaRob.
I think he should legally change his name to that.
He should legally change it to that.
Why am I saying it again? They heard you. Maybe I don't think they heard you. Is that because you're sitting over there or what?
I don't know.
This show never could afford two microphones, okay? So we always worked off of one. Now, as it is, I'm trying to work off of one here. So you lean in a little bit to hear it. Just lean in a little bit. You talk loudly anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I know that. So I'm watching
I just don't want you to get uncomfortable because of how close.
You don't want me to get uncomfortable because of how close? See, I'm saying it, doing it again. Why am I? It's like, you know when they do in movies when you don't hear the other voice and the person's on the phone and he says what they hear? People want to know what he's saying about. You don't hear the other voice. So the guy goes, you what? You want me to come over? It's like... repeat what he said. He just heard it, but he's only saying, I like to do that when nobody's listening. Yeah. Someone picks up the phone, and I just say what they say again. So they go like, hi, Frank, it's me, and I'm at lunch. So what, you're at lunch? You know? And if you do it, if you continually do that, you really piss the living daylights out of them. You piss the vinegar out of them. Do you know there's a piss and vinegar?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I love to do that. So someone calls up and goes, hi, Frank, it's Mom. And this is really a long-distance call because you've been dead for like 15 years, 20 years or something. Yeah, oh, it's your mom. How's things? Okay, so here's what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks. And then next week, you're not going to want to miss this show because I'm not going to want to miss this show. Tom Savino comes back, my former radio and writing partner, Tom Savino. And we're going to do, we don't ordinarily do theme shows, so this is not a theme show, okay? This is a show that will, him and I, that's correct, we'll be talking about the 50th anniversary. We're not going to talk about, we're talking on the 50th anniversary, on the eve of the 50th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, because we were there. Now, I don't know how many people in this room were alive when Kennedy was assassinated. We have a bunch, you were not. I told you. And what? No one else? No one?
I was there.
You were there? You were in Dallas?
I was in Dallas.
You were in Dallas when it happened?
I certainly was in Dallas when it happened.
Well, who was that supposed to be? Nixon doing it?
I've never seen a crook. I don't even know what a crook looks like. Pardon me.
Can you hear that? Because that's coming from this room, what was happening over there. So we're going to be talking about, because we were there, Tom and I, no, we weren't there, we were alive when it happened. And a lot of you people, I know we have a younger audience, and a lot of you people don't know what it was like. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about all the different things that happened. But you know, it's not going to be like what's been going on cable television, because they have just every single night. There's 16 shows about having a shot, who was he, how'd he get there, who was, and then his daughter and his son and Jackie O, who wasn't Jackie O at the time, although I'm sure he probably said that a lot of time, right? Jackie O. Do you do Kennedy?
Ask not what you
call. No, I guess not. Okay. So what is that? That's Sean Connery doing Jack Kennedy. That's delicious. Ask not what your country can do for you. And I will be doing, by the way, speaking of imitations, this is rare. Because I don't do a lot of imitations, if I do any. And you guys are really happy with yourselves, huh? High-fiving each other. That's unbelievable. Okay. But I'm going to be doing on that show one of the only imitations I do, and I do this so well that you'll know why I don't do others, and that I'm going to do the sound of Lee Harvey Oswald being shot. I'm the only person in the country who actually does that. And I've done that on stage to uproarious applause and outrageous audiences. And it was like police came once. It was so good. And then, so I'm going to be doing that. Now, that's not what I'm saying. You're going to be hearing things and a discussion that's unlike any of the ones you're hearing on these biographies and stuff about the 50th anniversary. It's going to be completely different. What?
Have we ever done my Frank Cotolo impression here on the...
Have you ever done?
Yeah.
No, I don't think you have. Is it cold? Why do you have... So everybody's got
chilly.
Everybody's got their jackets on as if it's like, we can leave any time now, can't we?
You have a final shirt on, so...
I got three shirts on.
Okay. So what do you... Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Here's an impression of me from my Jeremy... Wait, okay, go closer for this. I gotta hear this. Good.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, it's me, Frank Cotolo, and I'm here at my show, Cotolo Chronicles.
Wow, that's good.
I had to clear my throat.
He's not kidding, huh? Have a round of applause for that one, huh?
Yay!
It's not often.
I have no idea how easy that was.
You worked on that. You were up nights going that one there. Not often we have other people in the studio, but now and then they need food. We take them in. They need shelter and food and whatever. Okay, then look what's going to happen November 28th. Now, November 28th is American Thanksgiving. You know, we already had Thanksgiving in Canada. And we're going to have American Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving always falls in America on a Thursday. So I've been doing Thursday nights. I've been doing a Thanksgiving show, a show that night live for as many years as I've been on. And we don't even want to count that many years. So digest your turkey and all the junk you eat. If you're drunk, it's going to be great. If you're, no matter what's going on, I will be here. It's just been you and me. There's no audience. There's no nothing. There's just me and you, and I'm going to talk about things, and we're going to have one of those great times that we have together the way this show began. That'll be Thanksgiving, and all of you can give thanks for listening and for me still being here if you want to. If you don't, then stay with the family. It's your choice. Okay, then on December 5th, following the 28th, Doc Woldar and Sky Hall will be here. And whenever they're on, man, I'm telling you, we talk about the deepest, most incredible things, but not at a level where people like my bodyguard who's here tonight can everybody can understand it. I mean, and me too. I'm not saying you're an idiot, Raul. Not in this case. I'm saying that you and I, we listen to these guys, and it's like, wow, these guys are like really out there. They are great, but we talk. So we'll be talking about space, time continuums, time. We'll be talking about playing ping pong on a moving train, the velocity of thoughts. And I'm telling these guys are so smart that sometimes I puke while the show is going on. It's amazing. I love it, though. It's great. It's great. And so we'll have Doc. And I love Doc, too. I mean, just the idea that a man that smart listens to me under normal circumstances is amazing to me. It is. I don't know. You know, I think as I look at the people who come and sit in the studio and I go, who can be out there, you know? But and keep your cards and letters coming in, by the way, too. Now, on December 12th, Steve Olsher will be on. He was on once before. Steve Olsher is one of these guys like Tony Robbins. I don't want to say he's like that because, I mean, but he's one of these motivators, and he has books out, and he has classes, and he tells people, he gives people an idea what they could do if they don't know what to do with their lives. I can give you that idea, too, but he charges more. And besides, you might not listen to my advice. And I'm sure a couple of people here would agree with that. Seriously, Steve Olsher at steveolsher.com or what have you. He's going to be here, and I will be talking with him about his new book, his new things to going on. And the book is called Check About This. Check About This. Check this out. What is your what? What is your what is the name of his book. Now, hopefully the grammar and the rest of it is better than that, so, and we'll know about it. But he will be doing that, and we'll have a lot of fun with it, too, because Steve has a great sense of humor. And I'll be honest with you, I never thought he'd be on again after the first. So many people come on this show who don't know a lot about the show, but they know I have a humongous audience, and so they all want to sell their stuff and everything. And I don't do that. I tell you, every day I get at least 10 requests to be on this show saying, I got a book about this, and I got a book about that. That's not how they speak. It's how I hear it in my head. I got a book about this, and I got a book about that. And we don't care. Nobody cares. People don't even – I got books. I advertise books. Do you buy them? Hey, someone – I got a great review on License to Kill, which I'm not even going to talk about. License to Kill, I said. It's Skill. That's the real one. But anyway, that's the point is Steve Olsher will be here on December 12th. I think between the 12th and the 28th, I don't know what goes on. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 21st, I don't know. That'd probably be – we don't do a Christmas show, but it will be near Christmas. But the 28th, of course, is – Roll Call from the Bone Garden. This is one of our more popular shows of the year. The Artist D and I sit here and go through the names of celebrities who have passed this year, not just celebrities in the world of, you know, movies and music and stuff and entertainment, but celebrities in all walks of professional life. And we talk And Dee, of course, considerably younger than I am, talks about the younger ones. I talk about the older ones. And we even have stories we share with you, because some of the people who have passed away, there are stories about knowing not just what I know about them or I knew them or what have you. So this roll call from the Bone Garden is a celebratory show, because it may be the last time you ever hear about any of these people. And as usual, at this time of the year, Dee and I hope that we're not on the list, that one of us is not doing the show and the other one is, you know what I mean? Okay. Now, if I need artificial respiration type for any reason, does anybody here know any of that stuff? See? Just you. You learned that in the Army, didn't you? United States Army, that is. I want to make sure they know. So I say your name, Raul. They'll go, yeah, well, he fights for our country. And they'll go, like, what country is that? Our country. Did you learn that stuff, too? You have to do that? You have to learn that? It's pounding of the heart and putting the lips inside. And do you actually put your lips on the other lips of the person? Dude, that's not that. It's what do you do? Lift them up? You push on the chest? What do you do?
Well, it's been a while since I've had to.
Oh, great. So I can really count on him. That's great.
Actually, no, I didn't have a class on anybody.
You don't know, yeah. They were just dummies. You work on dummies.
Just
wait, you were in the Army,
yes.
Ed.
Fred.
Fred. I don't know Fred from Adam, and I don't know Adam. But I know Fred, for some reason I kept hearing Ed, and it's not Ed, it's Fred.
Right.
You were in Vietnam? No, I was in Vietnam. You weren't in Vietnam. Where were you?
I was in Berlin.
Berlin. The Battle of Berlin took place. He's in the Battle of Berlin.
The very famous battle.
The very famous Battle of Berlin. No, you weren't in the war. You were in Germany. You were hoisting beers at Oktoberfest. Is that
it? Yeah, I was in jail. Yeah.
Well, he's in jail. Okay. So we have a criminal. We have a United States. We have a criminal who's gotten out of. We're getting mail as this goes on. Yeah. People are writing in, going. Because it's when
this is the one episode that you're really lucky to have your bodyguard here.
We're not. And I guess I don't want to turn off anybody who's waiting for Brock, Tommy Brock, or whatever we're going to call him.
Let's just make up a new name.
We'll make up a whole new name for him.
Bommy.
I also want to remind you, okay, so that's the 28th, and then, of course, we're going into Y2K plus 14. It's going to be a great year, we hope. We don't know. It could be horrible. God bless you. And for not just for sneezing, okay, but for helping our country as you do, whatever it is you do when you help our country. And they, I tell you that one thing they don't teach you in boot camp, to hold your, right when you sneeze, to hold your, no, did you put your hand over your face? I didn't say.
Sneeze,
that was a cough? Wow. Jeez, no wonder I didn't make it.
That's how men in the Army cough.
So you see, you'll learn things like that. This is Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. My man's name is the title of the show. And what's new with you? I'll give you a couple of seconds here, Jeremy, if you want to mention anything. What's going on with you? What's happening? Do yourself. Don't imitate me.
let's see.
Where are you going to be? What are you doing?
Tomorrow, there's an event at the Penn State campus. Rainn Wilson will be there. I will.
Okay, hold on a second now. That's so fast. It said, here's what I heard, okay?
Tomorrow,
there's an event at the place, and Lorraine Wilson will be there. And is that who? What?
That's right. You heard it correctly.
Because I've been dying to see Lorraine Wilson. She never comes to town.
Rainn Wilson.
Rain?
Rainn Wilson, who's popular for playing Dwight on NBC show The Office.
On The Office.
Yeah. He'll be there, and I will be introducing him or opening. It's still up in the air, but I'll be doing something before he goes on.
So you'll be, you know your lines. Here's Rainn Wilson. Is that what you're doing?
Here's Lorraine Wilson.
Lorraine Wilson. I think you should do that.
I will be the only person left.
So you're going to do a little, you're going to do a couple of jokes before he comes on? Are you going to say,
I'm going to try.
Where is this again? At the where?
It's at the Penn State Harrisburg campus.
Okay. So anybody wants to see Jeremy, you're going to have to buy tickets to see Lorraine.
No, the tickets are free. It's a free event.
It's a free event. This guy doesn't make a living doing this? He's like you?
I don't know.
And me, I don't make a living doing this anymore.
But then I'll probably also be at some of the local comedy clubs.
After that, you're going to go?
Not after that, but like later.
You're not even going to stay and see the show. You're going to announce it, and then you're leaving.
Get the hell out of there.
You meet a couple of broads outside, and you're off and ready. I know you.
What? If I meet some broads outside, I'm not going to do a comedy show.
No, that's, you meet broads outside. That is a comedy show. You meeting broads outside. I would imagine. I want you to all remember also to get to Get Over It for Good. This is a great book, and I want to be serious about this because Dr. Karen Wyatt debuted the launching, the rollout. What do they call rollout? Is that what they call it? Now, where did they get these? Where did they get these terms? Oh, they're rollout of Obama. You never heard the word rollout. Now you hear it every couple of moments. Because of rolling out, time to roll out that website. Nobody ever told me that. I've been here from the beginning, you know? Hey, did you roll out your website? Nobody ever said that. When they were doing, you know what's amazing? This is the internet. And imagine that they're trying to, now they're using the internet. Nobody ever thought this would happen anyway. But now they're just, they're doing, the government is using it for the health care of the Affordable Health Care Act. Okay, they're using it for all that, and now everybody's upset about the website. Okay, they weren't upset, and they didn't even know it existed when the most popular website on the internet was Ate My Balls. That was the most popular, and it would always, the name would always change. I had one; they made one for me. Frank Catolo Ate My Balls, and they had Jerry Lewis Ate My Balls. They would just put in, and they would have this one page. This one guy did it forever. And it was incredible. Nobody complained then. Those things didn't roll out so easily, right? And you know what? Like thousands and thousands of people couldn't get onto it. And they were talking about it in the streets. They were talking about it at the doctor's office, at the dentist's office, at line at the DMV. They were talking about it in boot camp. They were saying things like, what's happening with that? I tried to get to 10, 20 years ago. I tried to get to Johnny Carson Eats My Balls. I couldn't get there. I tried a half hour. Right, but it wasn't on the news or anything. Now, this is the internet. They're all listening to us, Jeremy. You didn't do the work. We did the work so that people like you can enjoy this technology. I'm ready. Hello.
Shut up and put me on.
We got. Thank you. Let's get them. Let's get them right now and forget this nonsense. Let's call them and get into this.
Brock LaRob,
where is he? Pam. We got to look for this. Right here. Okay. It's a video. No, it's a is it a mobile? No. It's a video call.
It has to be.
Oh, it has to be a video call. I don't have a video call. I don't have video.
It'll be video for him.
Yeah, but why doesn't it call? Why can't I call it?
Oh, here.
What? You know how to do this. You're an internet guy. Yeah, video. I don't have video call. See? What is this all about here? Brock LaRob is waiting.
Have him call you.
Okay, here's what you need to do. Oh, call me. Type it in, man. Will you do something while you're here? This is trying to get.
What the hell?
What?
There's no letters on here. How am I supposed?
You know, by now you should know where the letters are on a keyboard. You don't have to. You know, you want a chart? I'll get you a chart and put it in front of you.
I guess.
Yeah, he'll have to call us. Is he calling us now?
I guess.
Yeah, he'll have to.
But listen, did you click that?
Yeah, and it said mobile. You can't because you don't have his number, and it's I don't know how this works.
Okay.
I've had Skype. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't have a video. So and all it says is call video there.
There
Tom,
is, there
can you hear me? Can you hear me? Tom,
here.
Okay. I said, yeah, you had to call me because it just said video call, and I don't have a video. And you have a video?
Yeah.
Oh, because I couldn't call you. It wouldn't let me.
I got you.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay, you're here with my sometimes co-host Jeremy Long is with us, and he's of course a great fan of Brock LaRob, and everybody we're talking with, who you know is Brock LaRob. When I went to get the I didn't get the book yet, but when I went to look at what was going on there at Ex Libris, I saw that you used your real name for it.
Well, it's out now.
But I was still surprised that you used Tommy.
Well, I used that because that's what most people know me by. You know, my family still calls me that, and people that are close to me call me that. And, you know, if I would have went with something stuffy like Thomas or Tom, it's ho-hum, you know, it's the same old, same old.
Okay, there's just the people who aren't, people who don't know you, that's who I was concerned about, that they wouldn't, they'd see Tommy and they might not take it as seriously as they would if they would, Thomas. Your family's going to know. They know you anyway. So they know you wrote it, so you didn't have to make it Tommy just because they would know. Well, anyway, I'm just saying. I was surprised.
Why not Brock Lewis?
I didn't want to go with Brock. He didn't want to go with Brock.
I didn't want to go with that.
Why not credit it as Frank Cotolo?
Why not Sidney Fields?
Yeah, I knew it was going to be Sidney Fields. I knew that. I knew. That's because you read the.
I sure did, and I sent about 100 people to that too.
Good. That's good because we have. We have a very large audience here at SRM Media Works. And let me tell everybody, first of all, I've mentioned, I just had to say Brock Lerab because that's how everybody knows you. And we found you, right? This is the first time you remember? You weren't on any of these other. The Jig Jerk Jaguar had not, he wanted you after, you know, right?
Yes.
You get the rebound. So everybody knew you as Brock Lerab. I want to tell everyone that the name of the book, if you haven't read the blog or what have you, is Lamplight. It's available now at, you know, I couldn't find it on Amazon. Why is that?
I don't know. It's there.
Ha. Huh. I put in all sorts of names.
Barnes & Noble also.
Oh.
Okay. I don't know why, but anyway, I found it at Ex Libris, and that's where I linked on to there, so I hope you can get some sales for that. Is it also available in digital?
Yes, it is.
But considerably cheaper. You're talking to somebody who went through that, you know?
Yeah, I know that.
People were going, I love you, Frank, and it's wonderful, and I really laugh at this stuff, but really, $24? What are you nuts?
Where's the $2.99 version?
I know. I think at Blurb, I think it's, what, $3? And still, I get on the air and I go, what's wrong with you people? $3, you're just like, this costs less than a pack of cigarettes, you jerks. Read the damn thing.
I got a couple of days ago, I got this. Is it out on audio yet? And my answer was, well, let me see. I'm having a hard time getting Gene Hackman to do the recording. And maybe I could probably get Jack Nicholson to do it. But, you know, I'll see what Jack is doing over the next couple of days.
I tell people if you give me like a dollar a minute, I'll read it to you over the phone. Or get you Skype and I'll read it to you. I'm not going to tape it. That way I can continually get it, you know. And I don't like it. you do it once on audio. They either buy it or they don't, you know. But they got a call.
That's right.
I got it. I got lunch. What's on your agenda today? Well, let's see. I got a meeting at 10:30, and then I got sales going on till then, then noon, and then I'm calling Frank Cotolo. He's going to read me his book. He's going to read me a book.
I had to save a whole 2 paychecks for him to read.
Okay, so you can go and get the book now. I'm terribly interested. I hate the word terribly. I'm terribly in what this is actually about, because when I was reading the blurb there, I was unaware that it was more than than just about the Civil War. That just is there's a couple of genres going on in here. But this is the book you were talking. All right, get down. Get down.
Fido, what the hell?
It's his new book is The Hound of the Baskervilles, Part 2. And who is that? What's the name of that dog?
That is Gizmo.
Gizmo. Not a good name.
It's a popular dog name.
Yeah, popular dog name.
Keeps all the burglars away.
When you this is the history book you said you were about writing. And when you told me that in the beginning, I had no idea you were going to go into fiction. I thought you were going to do some kind of slant on history or what have you. So I'm going to hand the entire time over to you right now. Until you're done, you tell me what you would tell anyone when they said, yeah, I wrote a book. And obviously people go, oh, yeah, what's it about? Right? People, what's it about? Oh, yeah.
What's it about?
What's it about? What would you tell people Lamplight is about?
Lamplight is action, romance, drama with a lot of history. A lot of history about some actual incidents and also some incidents that were kind of fictional, but also that meld or blend into the actual incidents. The story takes us actually from the Midwest, from the frontier, and then back to the East. And when the Civil War does break out, or as I like to call it, the war between the states, there's nothing civil about it. Our characters are in New York City in the 1860s, and it has to do with spies and the plot to burn New York City. As I would call it, the first terrorist attack on New York City.
There is not a lot in all of the history that I ever read. Not that I'm not a Civil War buff, and although I once was kicked out of a recreation in you know, they do that in California too. The Civil War, what are they called?
The ones reenactments.
Yeah, the reenactments. Yeah.
Hey, you're smack dab in the middle of reenactment country.
I am. That is absolutely true, and I've never gone to a reenactment here.
I have.
Here?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
I would love to, like, get a uniform and just go out there and wreak madness.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But go
what
ahead.
What side would you be on?
We're on the same side. I don't care.
What was I saying? I was saying New York City. You're talking about New York City, not New York State, right?
New York City.
New York City during the Civil War, or the War of the States, as you like to call it. There's not much I ever read about what went on there. Wasn't New York City just going about its business as part of, or was the Underground Railroad going there? Or, I mean, so is this all new, relatively new to literature?
No, it is. There's not much written about it. I think the most popular pieces we do know about it, it was a book written in the late 1930s called The Gangs of New York, which was eventually made into a movie in the 1990s by Martin Scorsese.
Yes.
That does touch on New York City during the Civil War. And the big scene in that movie is the New York City draft riots.
I just got to tell the story here for a second, okay? Because because this is how we do the show. And besides, you're on for 2 hours. You got plenty of time to talk about the book. We'll sell as many books as we can.
Yes.
But I was in – now, you said Scorsese, which is amazing. You said Scorsese. And it's a Scorsese. Some people say that name differently. But I was in, of all places, Red Robin once. I know Jeremy's laughing because he works there now and then. Not as a comedian, although it's pretty funny what you do. I tell you.
But it's funny that I worked there.
Yeah, I was sitting there once, and two kids, and I say kids because they were considerably younger than I guess 1920s, I don't know, maybe they were. They came over to the table, and they went, "Oh, my God, it's Martin Scorsese." They thought I was Martin Scorsese. maybe it's my eyebrows or something. I don't know. They, in their head, they went, "Once Martin could just, what are you doing here in Pennsylvania?" and so I immediately started talking like that, and I said, I'm just here because I have to do some movie stuff, and I'm here with my family, and they believed me. I kept them going for the entire time. I even autographed something, and they walked away.
Worse, they could have thought you were Martin Balsam.
Martin Balsam. Yeah, I don't. Would they even know who? So anyway, Martin Scorsese. Yes, Gangs. We all know Gangs of New York. You're right. That took place. I never saw that movie all the way through for some reason or another. As much as I love Daniel Day-Lewis, I've had his name? Cameron Diaz in that?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to go see that again.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo,
I know, but I didn't like Leonardo until the Scorsese movie, the one that had the Howard Hughes movie, the pilot.
Oh, The Aviator.
The Aviator pilot, whatever.
Well, that was a good one.
Yeah, I wouldn't really care for him because I couldn't stand that Titanic.
DiCaprio, he always reminds me of the kid in the fifth grade that is in the school play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's never gotten beyond being 12 years old. You know, he made a movie called Shutter Island that Scorsese did also. And to me, DiCaprio looks like he's playing the sixth grade lead in Death of a Salesman.
Yeah. he does. He has an eternal youth type thing going. He looks like a kid.
Still hasn't shaved.
In fact, if they bring back Lassie on TV, he could be Timmy.
He could be Timmy, yeah. But
who's
going to be Gramps?
Could be Lassie.
Oh, that's an easy one.
I'll be Gramps. I'm getting there. actually not. Who was that? Who played Gramps? You know all these things. What was his name?
Yeah, George Cleveland.
George Cleveland. That's right. No, I'll never. I already have orders, and I have a living will. It says if I, and it is actually a line. This is if I, there's a couple of people. If I ever look like George Cleveland, shoot me. I will be shot dead right there. Okay, go on. Let's get back to the book. And I'll, and enough about me and Martin Scorsese, but I did not know that, and I know that now, that the gangs of New York took place during the Civil War. Did that, does that, the story, does that story itself have to do with how unruly, or does it have to do with crime in New York City based upon the country being so, you know, in turmoil?
Well, the story, yes and no. The city was in turmoil because the city many times would bring up the fact, especially in the newspapers. You know, there was a little over a dozen newspapers in New York, and you've had factions. You had a lot of the editors were against the war, and they wanted New York City to secede, to become its own republic. And they had these people were called Copperheads, and Copperheads were Northerners who were sympathetic to the South. And it divided the city in some respects, that people of color, black people, were rather unsafe in New York many times because people feared that they were going to take their jobs, and it was a lot of unrest. You've had two different police departments. You had a metropolitan police department. You had a county sheriff. And you had a smaller city police department, and they had to get their arms around a lot of the unrest. Mm. The gangs in New York highlights, or I should say spotlights, the Five Points in New York City. Lamplight, my story encompasses more of the upper class in New York. There is a subplot, not much of a subplot, but the characters are involved in early baseball in New York. Baseball was very big at that time. It was a everyone was playing baseball. It was a very, very popular activity.
Well, no wonder there was unrest. And nobody was picking up the garbage. Everyone was playing baseball. That's what happened. I'm learning history beyond belief here from you, my man. My good man. My good man. Okay, so... there's a baseball subplot, and okay, but let me ask you something here about. And I'll stop you here for a second, because it just dawned on me that when we're talking, what did you eat tonight? You, I know. Are you okay?
Yeah.
All right. My co-host here is making.
I had a Reuben.
Oh, did you really? I love you. Yeah, you can get Reubens out there in the Midwest. They have Reubens.
Hey, I had a great Reuben.
Wow, that's okay. when there was when the Civil War was going on, the blacks, you know, I have a
the blacks.
I cover. Well, wait a second. I my unreleased but gigantic book. You read the whole book?
Almost.
You didn't read it. Yeah, almost. the complete and unabridged history of Japan does go through the Civil War, and there's a lot of history of the Ku Klux Klan there, but. The thing is, when the Civil War began, when the South seceded, Lincoln already freed the slaves. He said that. So in the North, they were free. All the black people were free, right? Or they didn't have to wait till the war was over.
Again, that was up to the individual states. The Northern states were against slavery, and... The basis of the Underground Railroad was to get the slaves in the South, smuggle them out of the South into the North, so they would be free. So but you had free states in the North, and that was, of course, what they called states' rights.
But when the war began, and the North was fighting so that the South would not secede, but Lincoln said, and one of the issues was freeing the slaves. But so they weren't slaves in the North until it was over. That's what I'm saying, right? Right? They were free.
His Emancipation Proclamation actually happened into the war, not at the beginning of the war. So because Lincoln was undecided what to do at that point,
Yeah, I haven't seen the movie. Isn't that unbelievable? I haven't seen that movie yet.
Well, it's really the movie Lincoln really doesn't touches on that. The movie touches on the 14th Amendment.
Okay, then I'm not.
Which is a Constitution amendment abolishing slavery in the United States, whereas the Emancipation Proclamation was his decree that all men are created equal and there will be no slavery in the United States. And of course, the Confederacy didn't recognize that because they were renegades and they broke away from the Union.
And if they had won, what would they have called that country? I never thought of that till now.
They would have called themselves the United Confederacy of America.
Wow.
Or the Confederate States of America.
The Confederate States of America and the United States of America.
And they wouldn't have lasted. They would have had to come back into the fold anyway.
But the United States of America would have had to change its name, too, because they're not exactly united. If they lost half their states, we would have had to change our name up here. We would have had to be de-united.
Pennsylvania.
The de-united, the almost, the pseudo-united,
kind of united.
Okay. Anyway,
the United Commonwealth of America.
This book, Lamplight, always when I see that and I saw the light there, you know, you use the lamp there, and that's not one of those Brooklyn lamp lights they sell in the middle of the night, is it? Have you seen those yet?
Do they work?
The Brooklyn, you've seen it, right? You've seen that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I haven't got one, but I was sure tempted. The Brooklyn lamplight.
It's not a Sea Caucus lamplight. It's a Brooklyn lamplight.
It is, because that's right.
Secaucus.
Secaucus and Secaucus. I see the lamplight, and I always think of the Revolutionary War. That's because of 1th by land, 2th by sea. And I always thought, even when I was a kid, why were Americans talking like Shakespeare in America? Why didn't they say 1 by land, 2 by sea? What was the 1th?
He just should have yelled out, hey, here they come.
Yeah, well, were people walking around in the early revolutionary, saying it? I mean, you know what I love? I literally love, and I've seen it, and I know it's not the greatest movie ever made, but I love The Patriot with Mel Gibson. I love that movie.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's one
of those. That grew on me. That really did. When I saw it in the movies, I said, I don't know about this. Then I was up late one night and I saw it on TV and I said, you know what? This is something that I kind of like, and it grew on me and I really got to enjoy it.
I love it, and I watch it from any given point. It's one of those movies I could pick up from any point. I love it. And I thought he was great and everything was great. And oddly enough, I'm going to do a show one day on Roland Emmerich. Maybe I can get somebody from Roland Emmerich there, because all his movies have a certain pattern to them. But anyway, they have the same thing.
And he has to have a movie where in slow motion he yells out, no, because somebody's getting killed. And then towards the end, you know, the little child that doesn't want to speak finally yells out, daddy, and they hug and all of that. So it's got to be in there.
Well, that's part of it. But I mean, but I think of the Revolutionary War when I see the lamplight because of the 1th and 2th and all that stuff. So what I'm going to ask you now is, what is the lamplight, the light from a lamp, a metaphor? Or what is the lamplight? It doesn't say anything about Civil War, does it?
No, it doesn't. Because the title of the book is actually a reflection, if you read into it and think about it, the city at that time. New York City was Manhattan, because at that time the outer boroughs, Brooklyn was its own municipality, the same as the Bronx was called Bronxville. Queens, they were their own entity. Manhattan was New York City. And New York City, you'd go down Broadway or the main thoroughfares, and they were lit up by lamplight. And the terrorist attack was done at night, under the cover of night.
Gotcha.
And one of the characters also, who is a spiritualist, I'm not going to tell you not too much more about her, because she is a character in the plot. Does her work by lamplight.
Okay, gotcha. We're here with Tommy Nocerino. That's the byline. You know him, might know him from this show and other shows as Brock LaRob. His book is called Lamplight, and he's here with us exclusive. Well, actually, you're doing a book signing, aren't you, soon?
Yes, I am. Saturday, yes. In the Midwest.
I did a book signing for Molotov Memoirs, and I told everyone I would, you know, you might want to use this. And when you go to a book signing, you just say, you know, I'll sign any book. You don't just have to sign their book. If they buy something else, sign it. It's a book signing. Just sign it. In fact, if you get there early, start taking books off the shelves and sign them. Put them back on the shelves. And then get
it. Pull them off. Ooh.
And so, yeah, and that's that. And where will that be for people who are in the vicinity? Because we are broadcasting here all around the world. So where is that?
If you're in the vicinity of the city in the middle of the Midwest, Omaha, Nebraska, I'll be at a
I have mutual wonderful. Friends there. Don't we have mutual?
Yes, we do.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. What is that city? It's in Omaha?
Yes.
And what is it? Is it a bookstore?
That's just the name of the bookstore, and it's a wonderful bookstore. It's called The Bookworm.
Okay.
And very, very nice people, just nice atmosphere, and we'll be there, and there'll be plenty of books and all kinds of carrying on.
I was ready to leave for California because we were having a couple of bookstores. One major bookstore in Los Angeles was going to support this like party we were going to have for a release party, and then I was going to go around to all these little bookstores because there's still a bunch of them out there in Los Angeles. And then the big bookstore closed. And so I never made the trip. This is the story of so many things in my life. I'm telling you. I was up for jobs. I didn't lose jobs to other people. I lost them because they took the job away. I wish you better luck because, as you know, books are tough and more. Well, they're out of they're closing left and right. But now they're all connected to Kindles and Nooks and other things like that, and that's why. And that's okay. I mean, as long as people are reading stuff. I mean.
Yeah, and there's still quite a few people out there that collect books. You know, they have bookshelves, and they get books, and they put them on there.
Yeah, I know, but you don't want to wind up with those people. You want to wind up with the ones who get all the books, because those are the people. You know. I mean, I'd rather have 2,000 people who buy digitals than 10 who go, I'm going to make sure this is – they don't even read it, the book collectors. They put it in plastic, and they put it away. You know, because why? Because the three things you need are condition, condition, and condition. I'm saving this one. Might be worth a whole bunch of
It's like the annual TV guides. You don't read them. You just put them in plastic.
Do you get them? I don't even get them anymore. I don't know.
I used to.
Oh, okay. Okay. Where are we? We're at – why would anyone – would this be better for somebody who – and I'm telling you this because of my book. People say, well, you know, I wrote the complete and unabridged history of Japan. And it's just impossible to tell people what it's about. So I just say Japan. I said it's in the title. So the thing is but they say, well, you know, why? I just tell them, look, read it. It's funny. It's a comic epic novel. What? How does this appeal more? Would it appeal more to people who just like to read mysteries, or like to read just history, or so? You know, where does it? What's really the foundation of the story?
That's a really, really good question, because this novel will appeal to men and women, and because of the fact that it does have action, it's got melodrama, drama, and romance, and it's a very easy read regarding the characters, and it appeals to both.
Oh, okay. So if you like history, you'll like this because it's embedded in the history, and if you're a man or a woman, and you like men or women, you will like this book because it has romance and adventures.
Homosexuals will enjoy this book.
I think homosexuals will enjoy the book.
Oh, I think so too.
Yeah, I mean, what's it? What do you think? So you think homosexuals don't like certain what? What they don't like?
Well, okay.
I'm the one who what? Who said what? You're go ahead, one. Go ahead, say it. I'm ready to stand up for everything I say. I think anybody. I don't think you know what? I don't think sexual. Let me say this. Unequivocally, and you could quote me on this, Tom, if you want to use it anywhere in your advertisements, okay?
Right.
And that is this. read Lamplight. It doesn't matter what your sexual preference, you will enjoy the book.
I think that just boosted sales 10%.
I think so. I think we just...
I think so. Yeah. It's also fat-free.
It's fat. And it is mild.
No trans fats.
No trans fats. No... Is it trans... Yeah, that's the trans fats. let's... okay.
Yum.
When do you have... I have another book, which never came out as a book. It only came out as a digital book because I didn't release it as a book, and then it became a screenplay.
I think you should release it as a book.
Well, it is. It's a digital book.
No, I think you should release
it. Well, okay. Maybe I will. We'll see what happens. Maybe you can help me with that in between the other 30 projects you have that you do every day. I'm sorry. I don't mean to make this...
I just throw out a suggestion.
You know what we're going to do? When we come back, is at the top of the hour, you can stay with us for the whole show, can't you, Tom?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Only if you want me.
Yeah, we do. Because what I'm going to do is we have a couple of people in the studio today, and I'm going to ask them if they have any questions.
Absolutely.
Which will be great because you'll hear from different people which would be good. Because I know this is happening to you wherever you go because you write a book and people go, what's it about? And you know what I don't believe? See if you agree with me with this. You know, someone once said, everybody's got a book in them, right? You've heard that, right?
Have you heard? I've heard that a lot, and it's not true.
No, it's not true at all, because I could think of people like, I can imagine, I try to imagine my father sitting, and you knew my father. Yeah.
Yes.
Could you imagine my father going, oh, it's time for me to write that book that's in me now? And he sits down.
And falls asleep.
Like, yeah, right, pretty full again. Lights a cigar. Let me see, where will I start? I don't know, Dad, what's it about? The book is in me, I'll just get it out.
Wouldn't that hurt?
Yes, it would take surgery, I think. And you know, because, Tom, for those of you who don't think I'm just talking to anybody, I'm not just talking to anybody. Mr. Nocerino and I lived at one time across the street from one another in Brooklyn, New York. And Tom and I, and we played stoop ball and all sorts of stuff together. We did things. We played street hockey. You played street hockey with us,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
We played street hockey. We played sidewalk hockey. Yeah. And Joe, were you with us the night that we took George Nazaro's pants and hid them in the freezing cold? Were you there when we George Nazaro was, by the way, a Japanese. His name was George Nazaro. And Japanese used to play great street hockey player. Do you remember George at all?
I remember George, but I wasn't there when you hit his pants.
Yeah. He would take a day. We dared him. It was deep, deep January or February. We dared him. So we're talking about streaking. We said, you'd never streak. He goes, I would streak, you know. And so we dared him to streak, and he took off his clothes, and he streaked down 53rd Street up to 19th Avenue. When he came back, we'd hidden his clothes. Oh, whoa, you gave him us? We don't know. Anyway, I guess you had to be there to see George Nazaro, a Japanese named George Nazaro. Where is he now? You know what I do, Tom? He's looking for his clothes somewhere. I go to Facebook, and I look up some of these old people, and I can't find him. Have you found anyone that we used to know from Arlen?
Oh, yes, I have. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'd be interested. We're going to talk about that off mic someday.
And then I get the same question all the time. What are you doing out there?
What are you doing out there? I know. It was, what are you doing out there? I know. My story is ridiculous because it includes so many places and so many
your
different
things. Your story is great. You've got to write it.
It's all over.
You got a book in you.
I got a book in me. there's a documentary coming out, and Mr. Long here did a documentary on me.
It's all done.
Yeah, it's done, and so you could learn more about it anyway. Who knows? Okay, I'll get the book in me. Listen, this is Cotolo Chronicles. What's going to happen now is we're going to break. Everybody go and dispose of some bodily wastes and refurbish your liquids so that you can replenish your precious bodily fluids. And I'm going to come back. Tom Nocerino is going to still be here. Talk about Lamplight. Talk about more books and things that are happening. And I'm going to open up some questions after the little spots we do here. So I want some of you guys here around to think of some questions you want to ask Tom about his Civil War book.
Open up the phone lines for some questions.
We can even now. I don't want to start with the phone lines because this Skype is ridiculous. You got to do conference. You got to do conference and It's just, what are you laughing about? Did your kids walking around with their smartphones, right? That's it. It's amazing, you know, because most of you guys, they shouldn't even call them smartphones, because you guys use them. Ooh, bam!
I saw where I was going.
Bam! Okay, so this is Cthulhu Chronicles. Still there, Tom? This is serious stuff here. Tom wrote a serious book. Let's get with the program here. When we come back, here at Cthulhu Chronicles, more things. Jeremy has some questions, and these guys behind me have some questions. And one guy may even ask you a question as if he were Ronald Reagan. I know.
Well, there I go again.
Yeah, I tracked them off. They come off the streets. We'll be right back here, Cthulhu Chronicles, Y2K Plus 13. Where we are here. Don't go away, everybody. We'll be back.
Cthulhu Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
And oh, was Benjamin Franklin wise.
So you actually think electricity can pass through metal? Ha! Ben Franklin, go fly a kite.
Excellent idea. Where are my keys?
Besides the bifocals, Ben invented the Franklin stone. The odometer.
Whoa!
Oh, and the lightning rod. Ingenuity, pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
A lot has changed from when Nola Osh started school until the time she finished.
When I received my diploma, it was a big to-do.
At 95 years young, Nola became the world's oldest college graduate.
If we don't concentrate on our ages, we go ahead and do things as if we were younger.
So no matter how old you are, live life and pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Ray and Garnet, Garnet and Ray have a harness racing show. Check them out on SRN1, Fridays from 9.
Hey, how you doing? This is Joe Walsh. I'm speaking on behalf of Rad. It's okay to rock and roll, right? But don't drive home drunk. If you're drunk, call me up. I have a limo. I'll come and get you.
Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
A former adjudicator for the Immigration Board has been jailed for 18 months. Markham Council has agreed to renumber a townhouse. There might be a slight bit of frustration for Canada's largest city without a hospital. Vaughan is no longer the city above Toronto as the municipal government tries to update itself with a new modern look. But if you live in the 905 area code, you'll have a new set of numbers.
Simple, straightforward, and relevant to you. SRN National News.
What about the world? What about the world around us?
This is SRN 1. Phil talking. About to drive a car.
Philip Hogan, somewhere. Someone had to say it.
Like, you sound so professional,
Michael. Crossing road.
Oh, man.
It's so hard to put into words, isn't it?
So hard. They just do a really good job, you know? I admire them.
But for now, good night.
Hey guys, I'm Jess.
And I'm Lisa from the Veronica Cares for Rad.
We see a lot of things at gigs, mostly people having a good time and having a few drinks. But what we'd hate to see is someone getting behind the wheel after they've been drinking. Being even a little bit over the limit makes it too easy to lose control and possibly lose your life or that of a friend. So if you plan to drink, plan ahead. Arrange a designated driver who won't drink or stay the night at a friend's place. Remember, music lives and you should too.
A public service message brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm the narrator. Let's see what Frank Cotolo is up to in the studio.
I'm about to have a duel with my co-host, Jeremy Long.
All of a sudden, a bear attacks out of nowhere.
Oh no! All of a sudden, a bear is attacking out of nowhere!
The bear chews Frank in half and then turns towards Jeremy.
I don't have a lot of time here, mainly because this is only a 30-second spot, and I'm facing imminent death. Listen to Cotolo Chronicles Live Thursday night from 9 to 11 p.m. at 148.ca. SRN Media Works with me, Frank Cotolo, and Jeremy Long. Say goodbye, Jeremy. That's enough.
I want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seatbelts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next, because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer, and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news, it's radio, the people choose. Everybody's swinging to the swinging voice of radio, the people's choice. Big fry, small fry, dawn to dawn, it's radio that turns them on. People's choice, East Coast, West Coast, in between, it's radio that makes the scene.
Welcome back to Cotolo Chronicles with your host, Frank Cotolo. He's the man who chronicles. I am your sometimes co-host, comedian Jeremy Long. We're here with Brock LaRob, whose real name is Tommy. Tommy! And he's here about his new book, Lamplight? He's here. How's it going, Brock?
It's going great.
We're back for the second half of the show, right, Frank?
That's right. We're here, and we want to remind you all that, Tom, do people, do you want to give out an email or something? Do you want people to write to you or anything about it, or just give some the other website, or...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've got a website, but they could also email me.
Mm-hmm. How? Give them an address.
Oh, they could email me at tommy.noserino at AOL.com.
How do you spell that?
There you go. That's N-O-C-E-R-I-N-O. No Serino. Sounds like something people say, no siree,
yeah, no siree, no.
It's a double negative, which means I'm positive.
There you go.
Do you attract other positives?
Yes, I do.
Yes, he does.
And
yes,
if they're not, I get rid of them. That's why I'm here in the Midwest.
And you did finally took, I mean, I really love your portrait. Who took that picture of you that's on Facebook? Tom is also on Facebook. You could get him and be his friend there and ask him questions and poke him or do whatever else they do over there.
Yes.
You can poke him. It's just him. As Tom Noserino.
I remember when Brock was on the show several months ago, I tried to look him up on Facebook as Brock LaRob.
You tried to look at Brock LaRob.
I was like, where the? I guess he's not.
Yeah, that's
look at that picture of Bobby Baba.
Oh, God, remember him? Yeah, yeah. The book is Lamplight. And you can get it at Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it at Barnes and Amazon. You get Amazon and Nobles. You could go over to,
Spines and Friends.
Ex Libris. You know, when I went over to Ex Libris, I made a mistake in the typing. I don't want to tell you where I wound up. Ex.
Oh, I did the same thing.
and the thing
I did
was
that too, but on purpose.
Yeah, no. Did, after
I
an
did
hour,
it twice actually.
I got there. It was a mistake, and after an hour, I realized what I was looking to find. So I went and looked for your book. But anyway, let's. We have some people here in the. Whatever this might be called, the studio. I guess it's a studio. You know, anything's a studio if you're doing it where you do it. This is our studio. And you can get us. You can get Tom at Facebook. You're not on Twitter, though. You don't tweet, do you?
No, I do not do that.
Well, you know, social networking, something you should do with your book. I tweet my book all the time. And you might want to just open an account and tweet your book, start getting people. But anyway, look.
You can open an account for your book.
Yes, you can have an account just for the book. You could have the Lamplight account. And then tell people to go over there.
You can tweet things like, my creator will be at so-and-so signing me.
Yeah, these kids know everything.
Tweet
you know?
It as if you're the book tweeting.
You know, he does Vines. Jeremy does Vines.
Those
do you know about?
Don't read.
Do you know about Vines? Vines? Tom?
Vines.
Vines. These little six-second videos that all these kids do? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, those are fun.
Yeah, they're all over. There's so many people out there now who would just normally be doing stupid things, but now they do it on the internet.
Right, which is better.
Yeah. Anyway.
You know, I wanted to mention that I know that many people out there know that when we went to the break, you were playing the theme music from the movie The Thing, the 1951 version.
Yeah, you're the only one who would know that. You're absolutely correct. The we open up when we do the half hour. That move, that's from the thing, from another world.
From another world. Halt, who goes there?
But I didn't know.
You knew it was from 1951, but you didn't know what movie.
I knew the year, but not the movie.
I'm always telling Jeremy because he's 21. I'm telling him about all these things he should see.
Oh, yeah. And of course, it scares everybody because the movie's in black and white, which gives it a great atmosphere. But I'm not a science fiction fan, but in my opinion, that is really not a science fiction movie. I think it's a fantastic drama. It's the concept of the story. It's just a tremendous movie.
Yeah, it's one of my
favorites.
I'm not either. It's on my top 10 list of movies of all time, and we've talked about it many times here, along with the other movies like The Incredible Shrinking Man, which is of course one of my favorites.
Yes.
But anyway, we're going to get back to Lamplight. I have I have some people here. Have you guys been working on ideas or questions? You have guys any ideas or questions? We want you to do is, all right, cool. Okay, hold on. No, I'm telling you, they're biting at the bit. They're chewing at the bit. They're gnawing at the bit
questions?
Here.
Questions?
Now, what I need them to do in order to hear it is I need you to say it loud. Here's what we'll do. Get up. Say your name. No, stand up. Say your name. Let me see a show of hands. Let me see a show of feet.
Why don't you just repeat it like you're having
a
phone?
Just repeat it like I'm on the phone. Right. No, I'm going to move the mic just about this way. And Fred has a question for you. Fred is...
Hey, Fred.
Say hello to Tommy, Fred, and... goodness.
Well, hello, Mr. Hilfiger. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, Fred. How are you?
Well... I forget. Let me go ask. What's her name again?
Nancy.
That's right. Did you meet my friend Elvis Presley? Mr. Hilfiger, you know my friend Elvis Presley?
I know of him. I've never had the pleasure of meeting him.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
It's turned into the Ed Sullivan Show. I'm trying. It's like.
Who's next? London Lee?
Yeah, what? London Lee. And then your friend and mine.
Nope.
Is that a diamond in your nose? No, it's not. That was Frank Orshin. Frank Orshin told me that joke. And, of course, he's an imitator. That was Fred can't read, so that's the problem. So he doesn't have a question. You have a question about the book. Do you have any question about the book or... Or were you sitting there practicing? Because it didn't sound like you were practicing it. Actually, you do
well,
pretty
I have,
good.
I have a question about
that's
the
a pretty good. I have a question. That's a pretty good Reagan. When he broke into Elvis, I thought he was. I thought he was James Arness at that point. Go ahead. What is your question? It's your book, Tom.
Yeah.
What's your question about your book?
My question is: how did you come up with the plot?
Good question, Tom.
Oh, you want us to ask you that?
And in order for...
Well, I can answer that.
What's... Tom.
Yes?
Our good friend, Brock Little Rob, would like to know how you came up with the plot.
Well, let me tell Brock. since I've been a aficionado historian of the War Between the States for many, many years, I've been a member of the Gettysburg Foundation for many years, and it was just something, you know, there's a million and one stories that have to do with the War Between the States. It almost seems like on a daily basis we're coming up with something new. You know, we're finding diaries and letters and photographs. And since I really do have a love for New York City, I just came across just reading something about a terrorist attack, about spies, and they infiltrated New York, and I did some research and said, wow, they wanted to burn the city down. And I kept thinking about it and thinking about it, and I'm saying that was really – Sherman is burning the South and out of retaliation and to try and get New York City to secede and cause a panic. Confederate spies wanted to burn New York City. I said, you know, that's a really interesting concept, and I think I could build something around that. So I built a story around that.
Of course, you can't tell us, and you shouldn't tell us, what is this plot? Because, I mean, when you say they want to burn New York City down and it's the Civil War, I think of guys with, you know, matches and torches trying to burn. How do you burn the city down? It's New York City.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how. You don't want to tell. Is it a sophisticated? Is it a rather, you know, because is it like in the Wild, Wild West? Remember the Wild, Wild West?
Oh, sure, yeah.
So your Confederate spies have some kind of maybe superior plot or is it just they're just going to run around with torches? I mean, how do you do that?
You know what? They came up with a really unique idea to burn the hotels along Broadway that would cause a panic. Uh-huh. And they didn't want to hurt people. The intent was not to harm people, to cause, you know, personal destruction, but to cause.
So were they going to drop? Were they going to do any of the pass out leaflets and tell everybody get soaking wet at 9 o'clock because something horrible is going to happen? So they wouldn't burn up. How could you light a hotel and not expect people to get burned?
Okay, that's part of the story. That's why you got to buy the book and read it.
Don't tell them. Get the book, people.
They handed that leaflet, and then their
enemies. That's a good question. Yeah.
They handed them, douse yourself in gasoline at 9 o'clock, and then.
Yeah. That's good. See, we came up with something that you're just going to have to read the book to find out.
What Ilya Mortimer did was he had the men around him throw buckets of water on him so he could slay the three-headed dragon in the Sword of the Dragon.
There's dragons in this book? Wait,
the prequel has dragons.
Who? I'm sorry, I missed what you said about the dragons.
that is a good answer.
Tom Nocerino and his dog Gizmo with us talking about Lamplight here on Cthulhu Chronicles, Y2K plus 13. We'd like to thank who?
Brock LaRob for that question.
Thank you, Brock, for that question.
He already left.
Yeah, thank you for Brock.
Thank you very much.
here's a question from someone else. Steve has a question for you. This is Steve from Lebanon. Where are you from, Steve?
I'm from Lebanon, that's right.
This is like this is like the Claude Kirshner show. I got the kids in New York.
OCK?
Claude Kirshner. Here's Steve from Lebanon.
Lebanon, PA.
That's right. Hey, Tommy, I have a question. I hope this isn't something that's gonna give away the book, but Lincoln, who was the president during the Civil War, or the War Between the States, wasn't it in the middle of his administration that he changed the vice presidents? Wasn't Hamlin the vice president during the first half, and then it was Johnson during the second half? And do you think that was a mistake because Johnson, I guess he wanted to get some sympathy from the South, but I don't think Johnson really was really too hip on Lincoln's plan to end slavery?
Boy, that is a great question. It really is.
And the follow-up question is, before he chose Johnson, did he want to have Olson with him? Go ahead, answer his question.
Andrew Johnson had some problems. Most of all, he had a drinking problem. And Lincoln liked Johnson because he felt that Johnson was level-headed. He was North-leaning. He was very adamant in keeping the Union together. But also, Lincoln knew deep down that the war was going to come to an end. And Hamlin wasn't as strong that a person to be on that ticket. And with Andrew Johnson, he felt that the transition to get the South back into the Union, seamless, as peaceful as possible, that's where Johnson came in. And even though a lot of the Southerners felt Johnson was a traitor, Lincoln was really confident that he was going to get – everybody was going to put their differences aside, and Johnson was going to be the bridge to that, as long as he stayed sober.
You got a follow up on that?
Oh, no, I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for that answer. By the way, I if we go back two presidents before Lincoln to Pierce, I think he also had a bit of an issue with the bottle, but that's another story. But thank you for your answer.
That's a great question. Thank you.
Okay, Raul has a question he wants to ask you right now. Here's Raul. Raul, just come over to the mic here. And
is
just
that his real name? Or
yes,
is that
no, his real name is Raul. It's Raul Narcardo. Raul Narcardo.
Or is that his spy name?
What? Oh, he does. Okay. No, that's not his spy name. That's not his. He has a question for you right here now. Go ahead.
Okay, Raul.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Great. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
All right.
I have a question. Who was president during the war?
Which war?
What is your goal?
Okay, it was a plant question. I was not dumb. We thought we'd hit you with that, but you didn't get it. We all laughed too much after talking about Lincoln. And who was, you know, that was, you know what that was? That was a Bob and Ray a little bit right there. Yes, you tell the question, then I ask you. You say something, and then I ask you the very thing. That's why everybody got this. Who?
Taft. William Howard Taft.
No, talk about William Howard Taft. He was 350 pounds. Did you know that?
Bathtub, yeah. They need to make a special bathtub just for him.
So Chris Christie has some catching up, has some weight gaining to do if he wants to be Taft. You know that, Tom? Because he's a... You're looking rather svelte these days. You look really well, Tom.
He's you. Well, thank you. I try. You know, I do what I can.
You ain't no Taft, that's for sure.
No, he's not a Taft. There's not. No, he's doing. He's looking real well. You can see.
Were there any wars during Taft's presidency?
Taft was no. There were no wars.
Good.
That was, and then the transformation over to Woodrow Wilson.
Actually, not good.
You're in college, right? Did you not learn any of this stuff or what?
I never took.
They didn't learn this. I never took history. He said.
I was never a fan of.
Thank you for so my next question was this. Before Lincoln was president, whose face was on the penny?
There you go. That's a good question.
Tom, do you know?
You know what?
Right?
If I'm not mistaken, the penny had a I think it was like a wheat a symbol of like wheat.
Wheat.
And then
the wheat
and
penny.
I think it was an similar to a dime. I think it was like an angel's face on it.
Steve remembers the wheat penny.
See from
wheat.
Time.
You
yes.
See wheat pennies.
Yes. Yes.
Wheat. Long grains of wheat. Gold wheat. Cream of wheat. You what? What is that?
Minted in Philadelphia. Where all the
mint. There is our the wheat penny. And so when they shot. After they shot him, they gave him the penny? Is that what happened?
Who was Maple?
They put him on his eyes for the afterlife.
They put him on his eyes. The penny's on the eyes. He got it. What would you say, Tom?
Well, what was Maple?
Maple? That was a cereal,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
No, was Maple wheat, or was that...
Maple? Spell that.
M-A-Y-P-O.
I thought that was a cereal. Maple.
Yeah, was that wheat?
Oh, was Maple wheat? You're asking me if the cereal Maple was wheat.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why don't you look it up on your smartphone? You're just sitting there doing nothing.
Whoa.
What? Hey, you know, you want to be, you know, you got to be tough. If you're a mentor, you got to be tough. Don't you agree?
Marky Maple.
Maple. Oh, you remember? Yeah. Tom is also a pop culture historian.
What am I looking up?
Actually, television generation. Although he knows a lot about old movies, but he's a television generation pop culture historian. And when he's been on the show before, there's been a lot of that stuff. Maypo, M-A-Y-P-O, do you have anything you want to tell us?
Excuse me. Here we go.
Read it.
I'm reading it.
Oh, no, read it to us. Don't just read it.
Maypo is a brand of maple-flavored oatmeal. It was developed by the Maltex Corporation.
Okay, it's not wheat, so that's the end of that. That's what we know. That's okay. Thank you for looking that up, though. We appreciate it. Is there anything interesting more that has to do with what we're talking about here tonight?
Do you want
to
see a picture of it?
Yeah, this is television. We're going to show everybody a picture of it.
Yeah.
Aye, aye, aye.
It's Marky Maypo.
Marky Maypo was the character, like the guys. What were the Rice Krispies' name? Raul, what were their names? The Rice Krispie Boys, the triplets. Yes, Snap, Crackle, Pop. That's right. Okay. Let's go into a game show here. I'll take cereals for 300. Let's get back to Tony the Tiger. Let's get back to – how come he wasn't – they wouldn't call him Anthony. Nobody called him Anthony. He's Tony the Tiger.
Hey, Anthony.
Anthony the Tiger.
You moving out?
Now we're going to have to imagine the Ed Man, right? Now we're going to have to change that name, though. So the guy who drew it called him Anthony. We're going to have to change that name. Yeah, Anthony.
We like the drawing here. But that name's going to have to
voice go. Is good and everything, but Anthony, I don't know.
But then it'd be a tiger with a suit and tie and a cigar.
And in Brooklyn, we called him.
That's wonderful. That would be his tagline.
Yeah, and in Brooklyn, we called him Antony. Antony. Just like we said Italy. Oh, we didn't say it, but they did. Italy. You remember that? Remember all of the Italians on the street?
We're going to Italy.
That goes way back to Italy. Tom, the book is called Lamplighting. Once again, yeah, we're here at Cthulhu Chronicles, Y2K Plus 13. And we got plenty of show taking us right to 2014 in January. But Tom Nocerino is with us. You know him as Brock Rob. The name of the book is Lamp Light. It's one word. And if you look up Lamplight, you get so many different things. Don't Google or Yahoo or Yoggle. If you know what I did once? I Googled Yahoo and I got I Googled Yahoo and you get Yahoo. Google and then Yahoo Google. Okay, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, what I'm saying is don't go for Lamplight. Go to either Barnes & Noble. Can you just go to Barnes, or do you have to go to Barnes & Noble?
I think you have to go to Barnes & Noble.
And let me ask you something. When
I went to Noble, I couldn't find Barnes.
When the president of Israel looks for books online, does Net go to Barnes and Yahoo go to go to Noble? Net and Yahoo, always together, those two. You just can't get away from them. Net and Yahoo. No. I've never seen – you know what? They're never in the same room together. It's like Clark Kent and Superman.
Hey, Netanyahu.
Don't start them on Superman.
I heard they had a falling out.
Netanyahu?
Yeah, they wore like the same shirt to a party and it got awkward.
Oh. The comedy, much like that, is available tomorrow night. Is it tomorrow night at the at the what? The Erie Comedy Crematorium? Where are you playing next?
The Chuckle Hut.
The Chuckle Hut. The Chuckle Hut. I got to say this, and not only because I sometimes help Jeremy with his routines, but when I heard him the first time at a show I was moderating, and I booked him, and that's why. So he does have some good stuff. So if you're listening here. And and you're sitting back going, oh, yeah, we're going to run right down there and listen to Jeff and Jeremy. He's just, we're all just doing this. Jeremy has some tight sets and does some great stuff. Tom Nocerino, Brock LaRob, of course, is here courtesy of his book, Lamplight. As I said, don't just Google Lamplight. Go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon And go look on Amazon. Why couldn't I find it? Why don't you do that?
Look,
he's going to look it up. Look for it on Amazon. I don't know why. I looked under author. I looked under name. I looked under name of author. I looked under book title. I looked under book size. I looked under bookcases. I looked everywhere. I couldn't find it.
Well, here it is at Barnes.
Yeah. Oh, you got it at Barnes right away. Okay. So they'll have no problem finding this, people. You can get it as a digital. How much is the digital version?
Cheap.
Okay.
Here, I type in lamplight.
The hardcover copy, of course, and I know a lot of people get the hardcover copy. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to promote this as the hardcover copy. Not just because I'm a real fan of books, and I think that a experience you have with a book is a very intimate experience, as I said, even though it's a passive experience because you're reading someone else's things that are going on. But to have a book is to have an experience with that book, and no two experiences are alike. So if you get, plus it's in the future, if you keep the book in a decent condition, it's going to be worth something. So I say, before you think about getting your nook and cranny out or whatever it is your Kindle or your spindle or whatever it is you're going to do it digitally, get a hard cover copy. And of course the holidays are coming up. What would be better, I ask you, than this? How about this? You put it in a package. You get a copy of you get what?
There it is.
Yeah, Lamplight. You get a copy of Lamplight by Tommy Nocerino, $17.99 in paperback. You get that.
Look, it's Amazon Prime too.
12 new and used from 15/28. So there's already. Yeah, they're already used ones
already,
up there.
Already, huh?
If you have Amazon Prime, then you can get it with free shipping. That's what that means.
Free shipping on Amazon Prime, and now you do is you get that. They won't wrap it up as a gift. Then you go to blurb.com and you get Molotov Memoirs. And you put these two books together. And you say, and when someone opens them up, run out of the house. No, put it under their tree and don't say anything.
Put it in their stocking.
Put it in their stocking or their shirt. Put it in their shirt and then run away. I don't know. Put it in their pants. And say, you know, these two authors, these two fabulous authors knew one another, come from the same area, and look at the diversity of material going on with this.
Yeah.
And then then maybe those people will want to send us the book. Ask somebody to buy a book, it costs like $20 or whatever. And then mail it to me, I'll sign it and then mail it back. That's a little ridiculous. It's gonna cost you another, $10.
Not if you send it back signed with the shipping
cost. I send it back with the shipping cost on, and I'll pay for it. So let's do that.
Listen, I will too.
Here's the thing. If you put it under the tree or in the stocking, then you can, when they open it and they're upset with what it is, you can blame it on the fat guy. You know who that is?
Blame it on the fat guy? You mean Santa Claus?
No, William Howard Taft.
William Howard Taft. Blame it on William Howard. William Howard.
Chris Christie.
Is it Howard? William Howard Taft? I don't think
William Howard Taft.
Howard?
William
Howard? It's Howard?
Yeah.
Howard.
William Howard?
William
Howard. I don't know. It suddenly sounds wrong. Or incorrect.
Howie. William Howie.
Howie.
Yahoo.
Fred, do you have a real question, or do you want to come to the mic as someone else now and ask anything about...
I'll tell you, Pilgrim.
Oh, John Wayne. Hey, listen. You could talk... How about John Wayne? Huh? That's a perfect one. Here's John Wayne to ask you about. John Wayne has been in Sin and the Foot Soldiers. Was that the Foot Soldiers or the Horse Soldiers?
That was me and my horse Horsey.
That was you and your horse Horsey. And a couple of other Civil War.
And actually, he was in a segment of How the West Was Won. He played William Tecumseh Sherman.
Well, I'm glad, Mr. Hilfiger, you got to see me live and on the show. I'm glad to be talking to you right now. I parked my horse Horsey and came over here to the show because I heard you were going to be on it.
Well, thank you, Duke.
Well, you're mighty welcome. Tip my hat if I had one on, but I don't. But I do have a question for you, Mr. Hilfiger.
Shoot.
Did it take a whole lot of time and research to write your book? And I'm really curious to know the answer to that.
Did if I did this on a full-time basis, it would have been done, signed, sealed, delivered in about 9 months. Since it was done on a part-time basis between the research and the writing, 2 years.
Good.
You know, just like... I'm glad this is alternative broadcasting, you know, because...
Listen, I have something to say.
Do you have something to say? Okay, here's...
I want you to know this, Tom, that... On Amazon, these used copies that are already up.
Now, yeah.
You have it going for $17.99, right? Or well, that's what it is on Amazon. These used copies that are up are going for $30.
Hey, if you think that's something, if you buy the book in Germany, it's $72.
Good.
You have to use marks?
You gotta use marks.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? You know, John Wayne was in Berlin, and he, yeah. You tell him there. You know what I'd like you to do? I think one of the funniest things in the world, I know Mr. Nocerino will agree with me, was a movie called The Greatest Story Ever Told, and John Wayne plays the centurion when they crucify Jesus, and the thunder and lightning when Jesus finally supposedly dies, and he goes, "Hey, Shirley, what the Son of God?" And I can you say that? Can you do that?
Hey, Shirley, what?
Come again, close. Wait, I want to hear this. I want to hear this. Because he actually does a pretty good John Wayne, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, do that. Do that one.
Well, he certainly was the Son of God.
That's pretty good. I got to get a loop of that.
That was great.
Isn't that great? Hey, Shirley, I can't even go that low in my voice. Do one more time with that. Everybody put on your recorders or whatever. You got to get this. Go.
Well, he certainly was a Son of God.
No!
I know! Wow! Said Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken, what did you think of that?
Wow. That was one of my favorite impressions of John Wayne I've ever heard.
I'm sorry, Tom. I wanted this to be a serious show about your book. But I don't know if we can pull off a serious show at all. Ever. But that's okay, because that's one thing's great about Tom is, you know, I don't trust people who write serious books who do not have a sense of humor. And Tom Nocerino certainly has a great sense of humor. So I would never think of doing this. There are people, as I mentioned before, who would never come back on the show. They come, they promote, they want to do, and I'm supposed to be so, you know, and I'm just me. And, they decide that's no good. I'm never coming back on that show. He made fun of me. He made fun of what I do. You did. And why were you so negative? I said at the end, or thank you for being on the show. And they said, no, you laughed at me. You laughed at what I did. I went, yeah. And what was your problem?
That's what you do.
I know. What do they expect? They want to come on the show.
I
command this audience that goes from coast to coast, from ice cap to ice cap. And yet, what do they do? Huh? They get particular.
Uptight.
Yeah. So Tom can definitely take that. And where else would you hear John Wayne tell that line? What show might you do that?
Nowhere else.
Does your book have the capacity? And I am gonna eventually read it. I'm taking a collection actually here tonight, so I can.
I'll send you some money.
Yeah. you know what we should do, you and I? We should trade books. We'll just send each other a book, a comp.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in.
I would book as well, Tom.
Oh, yeah, okay. Right. Good.
As long as you're giving away comps.
The German price. He just happens to have 70 marks on him.
Yeah. Wouldn't you? Pocket. That's pocket change.
I don't have any change.
Pocket
change.
I'll send you a copy of my famous book.
What? Yeah, it's
sitting next to Frank.
Here's what I was going to ask. Does your book have the, I would say capacity, but it does, is there something in there that could spin off another book based on that? Or would you take on a completely different topic and idea and plot next time, if there is a next time?
It can, but
I don't want to hear this is the one book you had in you. You know, it's like, that's it. I took it. I had the book. What do you want? Another book? Hey, and then suddenly I'm doing Stallone, and I don't know why. I never did it before, and I'm doing Stallone.
Impression show.
I know it's great. Go ahead.
You sound more like Frank Fontaine.
Hey, Mr. Dunny. I can't do that either. Go ahead. Tell us. What I answered what I just said, and I don't remember the question.
I probably could spin off that, but or continue it or do a sequel. But I'm currently into my next novel.
Oh, okay, good. Tell us.
Which is same genre, Civil War, and has to do with the First Virginia Cavalry and the spy networks that go in between, and the attempts at to assassinate Abraham Lincoln during the war.
I recently saw something that I don't know what to believe anymore. Anyway, and I don't believe any history. I think it's all. They made up so much of, you know.
Yeah, thanks, Frank.
No, I don't mean that.
Your book is a lie, is what he's trying to say.
No wonder they don't come back. I've ruined all sales. No, what I mean is, I heard this thing about John Wilkes Booth, and they said in this particular, and I guess it was a guy who wrote a book, because he said that he never meant to kill Lincoln. That actually the plan, there were four other guys, and they were going to kidnap Lincoln and then hold him for ransom so that the war would continue. Have you heard that or read about it anywhere?
The original plot was to kidnap Lincoln, and they were going to hold him until every Confederate prisoner was released.
That's true?
To prolong the war.
You're telling me that's true?
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, okay.
And when the plot fell through, they weren't able to pull it off. And when the war came to a close, Booth was so incensed that the plan changed to assassinate him.
Could you imagine?
Vice President Johnson, Secretary of State Seward, and to throw the entire Union into chaos.
That's Seward, the same Seward as Seward's Folly? Is he the guy?
Yes, that's correct.
That's the Seward's Folly guy. So, they were going to kill him and Johnson, but Johnson didn't go to the theater, though.
Supposedly Johnson was in his hotel room, and he apparently had a hangover.
See that? The bottle saved him. So in my mind, I always picture these scenes. And I could say the other three guys who I hear are buried. The guys that were in that conspiracy are buried with Booth in the same area somewhere in wherever.
No, they're not.
Okay, well then that was wrong. Yeah. So, but I get the, when I heard that, and I didn't know whether to believe it or not, and then I didn't look at the guy's credentials and I didn't listen to his evidence because I pretty much lost all interest in it and went on to exlibro.com. No.
Accidentally.
I went to my accident. I bookmarked it. I bookmarked it before I moved on.
Accidentally.
But we have another question. Yeah. But I think to myself, I thought to myself, so there's like Booth. And he was like, they suddenly knew it wasn't going to work and they couldn't kidnap him. So you said he became incensed. That's up to my, because I'm like, oh, and we guys sitting around going, oh yeah, well, I'll show him. I'll shoot him. I'll kill him. What happened?
Exactly right.
And let's find out where he is tonight. How do you find out where the president is at any given point? Did he
Very
write?
Easy.
Yeah, how?
Call the president.
You know, Back in those days, if you said, hey, you know what, I want to ask the president a question, you walked up to the White House, knocked on the door and said, could I see the president? And somebody would say, yeah, come on in. If you just wait here, he'll see you in a few minutes.
And
that's how accessible the president was.
Wow, and they weren't shocked like we were when we saw either the trailer or the actual Spielberg Lincoln. And Daniel Day-Lewis and the guy said, we'd like to Mr. President. And he went, yeah, what's up? I'm President Lincoln, and this is how I really spoke. You know, Daniel Day, because what's her name? Jennifer Andrew Carnes or whatever her name is. The one who wrote the book that's based upon, you know, the historian.
Doris Carnes Goodwin.
Yeah, there it is. I usually had three names. Just like Doris Carnes
just
Goodwin.
Like John Wilkes Booth.
Like
yeah.
Brock,
just like Brock Law Rob.
And William Howard
Taft.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Because they researched. Or what? You buy a 10-cent bag of potato chips, and you go, anybody want one? Pass it around. No, thanks. No. I'm just joking.
No,
I'm sorry, folks. I call them folks. That's stupid. I'm sorry. listeners, you weren't involved in that, but I was just offered.
Folks.
Folks. You know,
hey, folks.
I know, suddenly, suddenly I wind up, you know, I go back to like being six and look at those old stupid TV shows that we always talk about. In black and white, by the way. Another question from Steve here, and I'm sure it's a serious one, because Steve's pretty serious guy. Here he goes.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, but I have a sense of humor too, Tom. And by the way, speaking
of... My name's
of-
not Tom, okay? It's Frank, and I'm the one who said it. He does have a sense of humor. Hear him laugh? Okay. But we don't want humorous. We expect. Because what do we get from Fred?
Well,
we get, you know, auditions.
Yes, what do you get from Barney?
Raul doesn't even know who the president was at the time, and he fights for this country. And Jeremy's sitting there going, you know? So go ahead.
Yeah, and Tom, sometimes when the president would answer the door, he would answer it in his bedroom slippers, like Jefferson. This is very interesting.
Sometimes he answered them in Jefferson slippers, which is amazing that Jefferson left them there. Go ahead. And that was a Lincoln bedroom, you know, before it was Lincoln. And
exactly.
Lincoln came in, he goes, "There's the Lincoln bedroom." And Lincoln went, "Isn't that amazing? It's named after me." Go ahead.
Hey, Tom, this is very interesting. I'm a big fan of history myself. I've read a lot of history. And I have a question. Since you brought up John Wilkes Booth, there's you know, speculation that Booth wasn't killed, you know, in that fire, in I think it was in Maryland or something, in that barn. Do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, my opinion is he's as dead as he's ever going to be.
Well, he's dead now, obviously, but I mean, do you think he did die in that barn?
Yes. Fire?
Okay.
Yes, he was identified, at least by three separate people, and that was him. They killed John Wilkes Booth.
There were no Siamese twins around, or he would have been identified by two individual people. Three separate people identified him. They were not connected by the hip or the...
But it is, you know, pretty interesting where somebody says, oh, yeah, about 40 years later, we had an old man sitting on a porch in Virginia saying that he was John Wilkes Booth, and it's very, very interesting. Brad Meltzer, who does a lot of investigative... research. He had a very, very interesting program on that. John Wilkes Booth, was he really killed? Was it somebody else? But I'm convinced that he was killed in that tobacco barn.
You know, Andy Kaufman's brother is going around now saying that Andy's alive. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I read about
and
that.
Elvis is alive because recently he was seen. he was recently seen riding Secretariat. So,
it's interesting though because I read an article.
Yeah, while Jimmy Hoffa put a $10 bet on him.
I read an article that John Wilkes Booth didn't die; he faked his death, and then he moved to Arkansas, gained 264 pounds, and changed his name to William Howard Taft, and then ran for president.
Is that true? Hey, that went over big here, Tom. I don't know where. Maybe Gizmo didn't like that, but the crowd here really liked
just
that.
Give me
joke.
A link.
Gizmo's my only fan, so I'm pretty sure.
We're and I go back to the Anna Catolo Chronicles. We're in the last at least 10 minutes of this show. We want to remind you that next week, Tom Savino, my former partner, is here, and we'll be talking about the Kennedy assassination from our point of views, points of view, from our points of view. Which ranges from serious to absolute hilarity.
I'll be on that show. Hey, you know what? It's interesting because we have all of these shows with all of these conspiracy theories and all of this. It proves only one thing.
What's that?
John F. Kennedy had a lot of enemies.
Right. More so than that Lincoln guy. But you know,
I bet you he wished he had a car with a roof.
He wished he had a car with a roof. Yeah. You know, the young kids, it's amazing, too, and then we're going to bring that up, too, about how...
Too late.
The more distant you get from these things, you know, that's when comedy appears. Comedy really shows up. It comes from tragedy, but not, like, immediately. I don't think they were doing... I don't think this following joke, I don't think, was said, like, the week after Lincoln was shot. I don't think somebody went... somebody said, and then someone went up to Mrs. Lincoln and said, "Oh, so other than that, did you like the play?" Hey, Shirley, why is that president?
Interesting
what?
Item.
Now
I also mentioned this in Lamplight.
Yes, go ahead.
John Wilkes Booth, Junius Booth, and Edwin Booth were on the stage one time and one time only in their acting careers. And that was the Friday after Thanksgiving, the day of the terrorist attack on New York City.
In your book?
Yes.
Wow.
It's also very, very true. They were doing a play to raise money to build a statue of William Shakespeare and sent the newly built Central Park. And it was at the Winter Garden Theater.
Well, I did not know that Booth had two other brothers.
Yes.
The Booth Boys.
Edwin Booth is...
the Booth Boys. Don't tell me where they got their fortune. They got it from their father, who invented the place where people used phones.
Don't forget.
Named after him.
Sorry, it was Tolls.
Tolls, the toll. Then they had... you're the history guy.
Their nephew, Powers.
How many people remember Powers Booth? Let's have a...
Let's not forget their sister, Shirley.
Oh, God, no, none of the people here... Does anybody remember Shirley Booth? See, they don't. They laughed out of courtesy. And Raul just sat there and went, anybody got a gun? Okay. Raul is also my bodyguard, because my body needs guarding. There's no doubt about it.
I was thinking, with a name like Raul, he's got to be a bodyguard.
There's at least 10 18-year-olds out there who know that my guard needs
my... Oh, my God, mama.
None of them could be here tonight. They're all in bed at this time. Okay, forget about that. The point is, here on Cotolo Chronicles, where Brock LaRob, who is really Tommy Nocerino, the name of the book is Lamplight. We cannot... What?
No Sereno.
I'm going to pass on that book. No Sereno. You've got to read it. Maybe we should do some commercials. You know, Tom, if you have some commercials, we'll put them on during our commercial thing here every week.
I should think of some.
Get somebody to just produce this little thing that says,
Bear to be attacking you.
Get the book and where to get it. I'll be mentioning it anyway. Don't think this is...
And in Germany, click on this.
He's made his mark on Germany. $70. It's only $70. How many pages?
You'll buy it.
You said my advance. How long is the book, page wise?
222 pages.
Wow, you didn't beat the history of Japan. 885, I think, something like that. Yeah.
Well, the Civil War was only 4 years.
Yeah, that's right. The history of Japan goes back to the beginning of mankind. It was kind of like the complete.
Is Godzilla in there, by the way?
No. It only goes up to the end of World War II.
You cut Raymond Burr out.
Yes, I did. The idea, I forgot what I was going to say, but the point is, there is no point at all. And Cotolo Chronicles here, and Brock LaRob and Tommy Nocerino, he'd be doing a book signing in Omaha, Nebraska tomorrow at Book Flash, Book Friends, Friends of
Bookworm.
Books. Bookworm. How can I forget that one?
And that's
book
Saturday.
It's Saturday. November.
Tomorrow.
So anybody who's listening on the replay, you missed it. If we're on after Saturday, but it might not be too late to get down there to book
it.
Book place. Bookworm.
Shoot me an email.
Bookmoth.
For what?
For anything.
Oh, shoot him an email. It's Tommy Gunn. What is it again?
Tommy.Nocerino@AOL.com.
Oh, it's that one. Okay, the other one's personal. Don't tell him. I almost gave away the personal.
The NSA is all over that one.
Yeah.
Nocerino@gmail.
That should be. No.
William Howard Taft.
Don't get him confused now. Nobody's emailing Taft, all right?
You can email me at William Howard Taft.
You know, I had it. You know, my office in Hollywood on Hollywood and Vine was the Taft Building. It was named after William Howard Taft. That's why the door jams were so big, large.
Yeah, right.
I mean, gigantic elevator.
There's just holes in
Fritz
the side.
Fritz 20, next!
He always wore a top hat.
Did he?
Yeah.
If he went into an elevator, no one else was able to go on that elevator.
William Howard Taft sat around the house, he sat around the house. Okay. All right, I know. It's too obvious. We're coming up to the end of this particular show. Tom, of course, will be on again with us, and maybe the next time there's a presidential election, he'll be on the staff. We were on election night. Remember the bunch of us?
That's right.
Me, you, McCallick, and Jiggy Jerksaw, whatever his name is. Jiggy Jaguar, and me and you, and who else?
Yeah, we had a couple of right-wingers on air.
Yeah, we were really going at it. What is your story?
Interesting.
One more thing?
We have a listener who was wise enough to point out that 222, the number of pages of your book, 1 divided by 3 is the number of the beast divided by 3. The devil's number.
Wow. Who listens to this show of your friends? Who are these people?
He said
somebody sitting there doing math.
He followed that up. He followed that up with coincidence.
Coincidence, yeah. Or
thanks, Dracula.
What are you doing, Tom?
There's heavy meanings going on. There's all sorts of stuff going on in Tom Nocerino's Lamplight. It is a serious book, and it's an adventure.
Sounds
and it's
like they and, found and once my I do plan.
Once I do read it,
it's a detective story also.
That's what I said. It was some kind. You have a mixture of genres there,
yes.
Which is good because it's a period piece.
Yes, it is.
Now, what about a screenplay? Is anybody interested? You think?
I don't know. Put the word out. It's very easy. It would be a very easy.
I'll write it.
I've had a screenplay out there now for 8 years. 8 years from
a
book.
One.
Yeah, from a book I wrote, and it's out there, and everybody seems to love it, and there's no movie. Now, so, I don't know. It's tough. But yours seems to have more, ability. There's a word for that. Movie ability? I don't know. Movies, I don't know. Making that up. There's, I don't know. It seems to be the kind of thing that could be even a miniseries.
Could be.
Could be.
Now, your book is many genres, as we just discussed. But Frank is most concerned as to whether or not there is nudity in the book.
Are there sex scenes? Is it romance? Or is it well? I don't, it was romance, or what about? What's going on in this book? Can anybody read it?
Oh, there's romance.
Adult? I mean, adult wise, or what?
All
ages.
The nudity is to the imagination.
It's okay. It's for all ages then. Because I write for all ages. I mean, I had a couple of bad words in some of those little my Lulu books. There's some junk.
Sure.
But in general, Skull and Roses is a little bit. It's like. You know, you can get arrested with that one. But most of them, even today, you can't get arrested anymore. Tom, listen, you'll be on again for any number of reasons here and there. And I certainly am still trying to get Chris Costello on. We'll definitely try to get a hookup so that we can.
That would be fabulous.
Which we all be on. When Chris, the daughter of Lou Costello, comes on again. She hasn't been on in a while. She's been busy. And the book is Lamplight. Tell what else? If you only had like 30 seconds to convince somebody, and everybody be quiet now, stop laughing.
Coincidentally, that is what time
we have. As we have almost others. If you only had 30 seconds, what would you tell people that would incite them to just run out and get this right away?
If you like to read, you like a good story. This is it.
Didn't even take 30 seconds. How do you like that? Short and sweet, 222 pages, and it goes by like wafer dust or whatever. Thank you, Tom, and good luck with it. We'll be telling everybody we know about this book.
Thanks for having me, Frank. I really appreciate it. It's really, really great. Look forward to it again. Jeremy, thank you. You guys are great. Steve and Raul and Raul and Duke.
And Duke.
It's always a pleasure, Brock Latami.
Okay, bud.
Lucy, Desi.
Okay.
Good night, Mary Beth.
Good night. Hey, say hello to your dad. Okay, no, it's just a joke. We'll see you, Tom. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Be good.
Okay. Ciao. There's Mr. Tom.
That's Mr. Tolo over there. You know what I mean?
Mr. Tom Nocerino, right up to the edge here. We go as we move into the end of this week's Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adjoins the title. Adjoins? I adjoin the title of the show?
You
guys, I congeal. I congeal the tones of. Say goodnight, Jeremy, and tell them where you'll be or whatever.
Good night, folks!
Good night, folks! He's quick, though, isn't he?
Come by the Chuckle Hut.
Come by the Chuckle Hut this week, and then the Comedy Crematorium next week.
Don't forget Loretta Wilson tomorrow
Loretta Wilson tomorrow night. From the television show The Orifice. It's my, you'll never. Good night. Thank you, Raul. Shout out there. Say goodbye.
Good night.
There goes what? What? I know he couldn't hear it, Merrily. You're louder than that. John, you got anything to say, Mr. Wayne? You have any last minute to say? Quick. No one can hear you back there, John. It's like you're dead. Come on over here. Say it, baby.
Well, he certainly was a son of God.
I know we probably clipped on that, but that's okay. Steve, say goodnight, Steve.
Good night, all. In the month of February, if you're in New York City, come to my one-act play, The William Howard Taft Story.
There you go. Get on to New York. Oop, get on to New York. I got it. We got some new equipment here. My name is Frank Catone. The man is named, but joins the title of the show. Thank you, everyone, for being here. We'll see you next week. Tom Savino's here. We'll be talking about the Kennedy assassination and all things funny about it, as well as the good things. What? Too soon? We'll
too
be
late.
Too late. We'll be there. Good night, Mrs. Ernstmile, wherever you are. We'll be back, and we'll leave now, because I have nothing more to say.
球到冰球，小村到大市，咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心，是 Cthulhu Chronicles。